जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभा गिरिवरधारी गोपीजन वल्लभा गिरिवरधारी यशोदनन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदनन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना यमुना तीरावन च तिरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी
जय गोपी जन
जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी यशोदानन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना यमुना तीरावनचारी किरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय
ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಭಜಗಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ತಪಸ್ವಿ ಶ್ರೀಮತ್ ಸಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಅವೈ ಶರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಕಿ ಎಸ್ಕಾನ್ ಫೌಂಡರ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಕಿ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ್ ಸೇ ಕಹೋ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಕಿ ರಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶಿಲ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕುರ್ ಕಿ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕಿ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನೂಗಾ ಕಿ ಸಮವೇತ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಕಿ ನಿತ್ಯ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದ All glories to some devotees, all glories to some devotees, all glories to some devotees, all glories, all glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskrityam.
Narayanam Namaskrityam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Tato Jayamudirayet.
Tato Jayamudirayet.
ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯ ಭಗವತೀರುತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೆ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವದಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕಿ. ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 28 ಫ್ರಮ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 1 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 10. ನೂನಂ ವ್ರತಸ್ನಾನ ಹುತಾದಿನೇಶ್ವರಃ ಸಮರ್ಚಿತೋ ಹಿ ಅಸ್ಯ ಗೃಹೀತ ಪಾಣಿಭಿಃ ಪಿಬಂತಿ ಯಾಃ ಸಖಿ ಅಧರಾಮೃತಂ ಮುಹುರ್ ವ್ಯಜಸ್ತ್ರಿಯಃ ಸಮ್ಮುಹುರ್ ಯದಾಶಯಾಃ. ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ರಿಪೀಟ್. ನೂನಂ ವ್ರತ ಸ್ನಾನ ಹುತಾದಿನೇಶ್ವರಃ ಸಮರ್ಚಿತೋ ಹಿ ಅಸ್ಯ ಗೃಹೀತ ಪಾಣಿಭಿಃ ಪಿಬಂತಿ ಯಾಃ ಸಖಿ ಅಧರಾಮೃತಂ ಮುಹುರ್ ವ್ರಜಸ್ತ್ರಿಯಃ ಸಮ್ಮುಹುರ್ ಯದಾಶಯಾಃ. ನೂನಂ ವ್ರತಸ್ನಾನ ಹುತಾದಿನೇಶ್ವರಃ ಸಮರ್ಚಿತೋ ಹಿ ಅಸ್ಯ ಗೃಹೀತ ಪಾಣಿಭಿಃ ಪಿಬಂತಿ ಯಾಃ ಸಖಿ ಅಧರಾಮೃತಂ ಮುಹುರ್ ವ್ರಜಸ್ತ್ರಿಯಃ ಸಮ್ಮುಹುರ್ ಯದಾಶಯಾಃ. ನೂನಂ ವ್ರತಸ್ನಾನ ಹುತಾದಿನೇಶ್ವರಃ ಸಮರ್ಚಿತೋ ಹಿ ಅಸ್ಯ ಗೃಹೀತ ಪಾಣಿಭಿಃ ಪಿಬಂತಿ ಯಾಃ ಸಖಿ ಅಧರಾಮೃತಂ ಮುಹುರ್ ವ್ರಜಸ್ತ್ರಿಯಃ ಸಮ್ಮುಹುರ್ ಯದಾಶಯಾಃ.
ಬೇರೆ
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation, O friends, just think of His wives whose hands He has accepted. How they must have undergone vows, baths, fire sacrifices and perfect worship of the Lord of the universe to constantly relish now the nectar from His lips by kissing. The damsels of Vrajabhumi would often faint just by expecting such favors. Please repeat, O friends, just think of His wives, whose hands He has accepted. How they must have undergone vows, baths, fire sacrifices, and perfect worship of the Lord of the universe to constantly relish now the nectar from His lips by kissing. The damsels of Vrajabhumi would often faint just by expecting such favors. Purport, religious rites prescribed in the scriptures are meant to purify the mundane qualities of the conditioned souls to enable them to be gradually promoted to the stage of rendering transcendental service unto the Supreme Lord. Attainment of the stage of pure spiritual life is the highest perfection, and the stage is called Swarupa, or the factual identity of the living being. Liberation means renovation of the stage of Swarupa. In that perfect stage of Swarupa, the living being is established in five phases of loving service, one of which is the stage of Madhurya Rasa, or the humor of conjugal love. The Lord is always perfect in Himself, and thus He has no hankering for Himself. He, however, becomes a master, a friend, a son or a husband to fulfill the intense love of the devotee concerned. Herein two classes of devotees of the Lord are mentioned in the stage of conjugal love. One is Swakiya and the other is Parakiya. Both of them are in conjugal love with the personality of Godhead Krishna. The queens at Dwaraka were Swakiya, a duly married wives, but the damsels of Raja were young friends of the Lord while He was unmarried. The Lord stayed at Vrindavana till the age of 16, and His friends, relations with the neighboring girls were in terms of Parakiya. These girls, as well as the queens, underwent severe penances by taking vows, bathing and offering sacrifices in the fire as prescribed in the scriptures. The rites, as they are not an end in themselves, nor are fruit of action, culture of knowledge, or perfection in mystic power, ends in themselves. They are all means to attain the highest stage of Swarupa, to render constitutional transcendental service to the Lord. Each and every living being has his individual position in one of the above-mentioned five different kinds of reciprocating means with the Lord, and in one's pure spiritual form of Swarupa, the relation becomes manifest without mundane affinity. The kissing of the Lord, either by his wives or his young girlfriends who aspire to have the Lord as their fiancé, is not of any mundane perverted quality. Had such things been mundane, a liberated soul like Shukadeva Goswami would not have taken the trouble to relish them, nor would Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have been inclined to participate in those subjects after renouncing worldly life. The stage is earned after many lives of penance. Om Tat Sat. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmayi Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Grantara Chimad Bhagavatam Ki. These are talks that we are reading of the ladies who have assembled on the top of the buildings, and they are watching Krishna leaving for Dwaraka, and they are here wondering about the great fortune of those wives. Just think of those wives whose hands he has accepted. And they are also wondering, to have God Krishna as your husband, how much of austerities, sacrifices, penances you must have undergone to be able to be held physically by the Lord and kissed. And they are also recollecting that the Brajavasi maidens, women, girls there, they would faint even by expecting such favors, thinking of such favors. So, right in the Bhagavatam, you have this type of love stories. And now it has gone up to kissing and discussion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead doing these things. So sometimes when we preach, we don't know how to talk to certain people who will say, here it is, we should also do the same thing. Hooray! I was always looking for a proof, a rationalization for things that I like to do so much. And here it is. The Lord does it, we do it. We follow, after all, the Lord. Whatever He does, we do. In this way, a low-level mind can rationalize and say that we can do the same thing. That's why Prabhupada has taken pains to explain here that these amazing damsels, both in the Parakhiya Rasa and Swakhiya Rasa. Swakhiya Rasa are the legally wedded wives of Krishna, you can say, to put it in very technical terms. And the Parakhiya Rasa, and Swakhiya Rasa are the legally wedded wives, and the Parakhiya Rasa are the, in modern terms or in the life that we lead of the conditioned soul, it will be considered to be illegal association, extramarital association that the Supreme Lord has. It's amazing. So that's why it's very difficult to understand God. No wonder, unless you get the explanation properly from the mouth of a pure devotee of the Lord, it's very difficult. So Prabhupada is very neatly explaining. Excuse me, my dear sir, the business of life is to achieve your swarupa. That is the meaning of liberation. Muktir hitvan yatharupam swarupena vivastitihi. Mukti means being situated in your swarupa. That's what is really mukti. See? That is why when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went and told Lord Chaitanya, hey, it is mentioned here, mukti padesa dayabhak, it is wrong. Then Lord Chaitanya smiled and laughed and said, no, it is okay there, mukti means bhakti. Being situated in your swarupa. So this is what mukti means when it comes in the Bhagavatam. Right? Being situated in your original constitutional position. Only then you will understand these leelas of the Lord. How he got married to 16,108 wives is very difficult to understand. And then each one of those wives he married in different ways. I think all the 8 different ways of marriages are done by Krishna. I have not sort of classified it. But I think more than that has been done. Maybe a list has to be added. You see, in the way, in the Puranas, in the Vedic scriptures, 8 different types of marriages are there. One is called, you can call a qualified person and tell, accept my daughter. That is called Brahma. You call a very qualified Brahmana or qualified person, come and accept my daughter. That is very good, proper way. Right? Then there is Arsha. Arsha means you offer cows and you ask somebody to take your daughter. This is the second type of wedding. The bridegroom comes and you find, I cannot find fit bridegroom and all that. I mean, just I have 2 cows to offer, I can offer and I can give you my daughter. That is called Arsha. Then there is Prajapatya. Prajapatya means that you call somebody, or somebody comes, there's a person who comes and accepts your virgin daughter. Then Daiva, suppose Daiva means arrangement by the Lord. That type of marriage means that you call upon a person and a sacrifice is done. And you offer your virgin daughter to him. This is supposed to be because of the Lord's arrangement, Daiva. Then there is Asura. Asuric wedding means the guy pays and takes a daughter. Okay, I want to marry your daughter. How much money you want? You pay the money and take. It's Asuric. Then there is Rakshasa type of wedding. You just come in and sweep in and take the girl and go away. And then you fight everybody else. Then there is another thing called Pisacha. Pisachi, type of wedding. There also there's a description given that you do something. It's a low class wedding. So there are low class weddings, there are medium class weddings, there's high class weddings. And Krishna did a lot of these things. He had many opportunities to do. It is mentioned by Suta Goswami that Krishna married Rukmini through the Rakshasa type of wedding. Because Rukmini actually called upon. He had 8 principal wives. That is, Rukmini, Satyabhama, then Kalindi, the Yamuna. Rukmini is this great kidnapping, this thing. Then Satyabhama is from Satrajit's daughter after the Shamantaka jewel. Then there is Kalindi, Yamuna proposed through Arjuna. You want to marry Krishna, your friend. Proposed through Arjuna. Then there is others like Bhadra, Mitravinda, then Lakshmana, Jambavati, and who else? Like these 8 wives. And all these things are different. Like Lakshmana, he went and, actually was challenged to shoot an arrow exactly like Arjuna was asked to do to get Draupadi. He also had to shoot an arrow, and Arjuna also participated to get Lakshmana. And he lost. Arjuna could not shoot. His thing went off, and Krishna shot and won Lakshmana and came. In the same contest, Arjuna also took part, he couldn't shoot. So many people failed, but Krishna won. Only Krishna won. Like that, the amazing types of, marriages that Krishna had. All these different types of... Then there are 16,100 wives that he got from Bhaumasura. After he killed Bhaumasura, all of them were beautiful daughters of so many different kings that Bhaumasura kept them captive for his own, sense gratification. And they, when Krishna killed Bhaumasura, they came and they said, now who will accept us? We are completely, society will reject us. We are ostracized from society. How many of us, okay, only you can accept us as your wives. Krishna just, yes, okay. He got married, 16,100 wives, one shot. He can do what he wants. And those people who want to speak anything can speak and sit down here doing Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam. They can be born here again and again and die. If you cannot understand, you're finished. 16,100 wives are. I mean, what type of a god do you worship? Amazing things we have to explain. It's very difficult to be Krishna conscious. Better to be worshipping some demigod. It's very easy to explain things. But Krishna and his leelas of marrying so many, it's amazing. That's why even these nice ladies are discussing, imagine those wives, 16,108 wives. What austerities they performed. In Kurukshetra battlefield when they met during the eclipse, all the Brajavasis came. And all the queens from Dwaraka also came. Then there was Draupadi. So they were all very eager to understand exactly how you relate with Krishna. So Draupadi, the principal queens and the 16,100 queens represented by one of them called Rohini, and then all the Brajavasis, all of them met together and said, how is each one's relationship? We want to hear how Krishna married you. How you have... And each one started telling, these Dwaraka wives started telling, how Krishna accepted me as his maid servant. They use the word, I have become the maid servant of Krishna. And he did this. So amongst them, of course, the best one is Rukmini's. Rukmini is a very well-known story. And that especially, because there Suta Goswami says that Krishna wedded her in the Rakshasa type wedding. Right? Sometimes we wonder here, in a wedding, we are talking about so many different types of wedding. One thing that is not listed is internet marriage and marriages of these days. That you meet them online and get married. Online marriages may be the 9th category. In Kali Yuga, there may be another 10-15 categories separately that need to be added for the Kali Yuga domain. And there are all sorts of things going on. People prefer not to get married. Yeah. Anyway, Rukmini as a Kshatriya woman, it's mentioned that in Vidarbha, that she was called Vaidarbhi, which is modern-day Nagpur, that Rukmini was known to be extremely beautiful. The king of Vidarbha, his daughter, and he was very attached to his daughter, and he wanted to make sure that the best is available for his daughter. And as people were traveling up and down between Dwaraka and Nagpur and everything, it's a long way, Dwaraka was out in the sea. People were traveling and they were talking about this Rukmini. It's a very beautiful girl. This Rukmini is like this, is like this, is this, she's very talented, etc., etc. And all these things came through along the grapevine, as they say, people talk. And it came along and Krishna heard about it. Kept hearing about the fact that there's a girl called Rukmini who is princess and is very, very beautiful and very talented and this and that. And so he just, let's see, one day we have to check it out. He was just keeping it on the side, because he has got so many appointments and engagements of this sort. He was also thinking that we should do something about it. I've been hearing a lot. Right, and on the other side, Rukmini also was hearing about the deeds of Krishna. Krishna is famous. And so she heard a lot about how Krishna did this, how Krishna did that, so many things. And she decided that nobody else but Krishna can marry me. In her heart of hearts, she decided that. So there, but her brother Rukmi, he was very friends, very close friend of Shishupala, and Shishupala was close friends with Jarasandha, and Jarasandha's two daughters were married to Kamsa. Kamsa was killed by Krishna, and that news spread everywhere, and the effect of those news is different in different camps. Now, wherever there is somebody who is famous and capable and wealthy and everything, there will always be another camp. Opposition is part of the material world, even in the spiritual world. For increasing the rasa, there is opposition. Opposition makes all the difference, makes your life more juicy. So Krishna has put opposition everywhere so that we can get closer to Krishna and intensely meditate on Krishna. We need somebody to keep shaking us up, otherwise we can get lost. So these are very good parallels, that even for Krishna there was opposition. And all these guys got together. Jarasandha chased Krishna, attacked him so many times, 17 times. And then he was put to great difficulty, and all his subjects. And I think Krishna had a huge, you know, clan. He had about 1 crore family members. It's mentioned in the Krishna book. He had 1 crore generated by him only. 16,108 wives. Prabhupada calculates that out of that, each one of them had 10 sons, and then each one of them had 10 sons. He had 10 grandsons from each one of them. In this way, Prabhupada approximately calculates and said he has about 10 million family members himself, which is called Yaduvamsha, and then other associated relatives and everybody. So he was to protect all of them together. How would he do that? And the Jarasandha is attacking. Not that he can turn around and finish Jarasandha, but he had some other reasons why he shouldn't do that. Why he shouldn't do that. So he just left and built Dwaraka in the sea. So all of these people are enemies. They are actually giving great pleasure to Krishna and to his devotees by being enemies. Jarasandha, Kamsa, Shishupala and all that. So Rukmi was friends with Shishupala. Krishna's different cousin is Shishupala. Shishupala is actually coming from Kunti Devi's sister. I think Shutakirti, she married Damagosh, and Damagosh's son is Shishupala. So in this way, Krishna and Shishupala are cousins. And Shishupala has got a hoary history. When he was born itself, you know, there was all sorts of donkeys braying and all that. This is the type of omens that were there. And they said that put this fellow to, you know, kill him immediately. He's going to be a great problem. He's going to this thing. They didn't do it because out of affection, Shrutikirti and Damagosh didn't do it. Then he turned out to be a deadly enemy. It's of course reincarnation, Jaya Vijaya and all that. So Shishupala and Dantavakra. So he was friends with Rukmi. So Rukmi thought that you are my friend, I want to give my sister to you. My beautiful sister. So he fixed up Rukmi. And the father, you know, didn't say anything. He knows that my daughter really doesn't want to marry this guy here. But what to do? And so he was forced into it. And then all of them got together and trapped Rukmini. And Rukmini was forced into this. It was in a very desperate situation. And all the rituals started for the marriage. People were invited, all the big, huge pandals and everything, whole town was decorated and everything. But people actually were not so happy. Something wrong with this match. It's not so good. You know. But everything seemed to be going very fine in terms of the rituals and everything. But always Krishna has got another plan. Everything may go as per Varnashrama perfectly. Everything may even look very auspicious. But all of a sudden things can change. It means Daiva. It means Krishna has got his own plan. So sometimes we have seen in our own experiences that we make marriages, we make suitors, we make arrangements, and some things happen and then separate. And some things before they happen, they separate. We should understand it is Krishna. There is no doubt about it. So here, little did they all know, because they were all enemy camp members. They never thought of Krishna. They don't think of anything Daiva. They were just going ahead and saying, that's it, Rukmi. Rukmini is, you know, Shishupala's, keep. Whatever is for keeps. So they were thinking like that, but Rukmini was desperate. I'm getting married to this fellow. Who is he? What right does he have over me? He's nothing. He's just a low-class fellow. I am not meant for him, she knew. I am meant for you, Krishna. So she wrote a beautiful letter to Krishna. The famous 7 shlokas that you can read in the Bhagavad. She wrote to Krishna and sent a brahmana. In the 7 shlokas, she told Krishna, O Yadava Simha, lion of the Yadavas, come and get me, I am for you. Don't let this jackal get me. A Kshatriya woman, she told, come and pick me up. I will bid, she complete Kshatriya woman, she gave a plan to Krishna, where you can get me. On this day, I will be visiting the Durga Mandap. I will be coming out. That is the best time to get me. She made a whole plan, and the people will be waiting like this, the kings will be waiting, this will be going on. That will be the best time to get me. She gave step by step instructions to Krishna to come and get me. Take me away and go. I am yours. Don't allow this to happen. So it's a great love story. That's what I'm trying to say. That the Bhagavatam is full of adventure and love story and great thrills. I don't know why people don't read the Bhagavatam. And it is true. It's real also. It's real. And not only is it not you and me, it's Krishna performing it. It's even more interesting. So here comes the Brahmana all the way. And arrives in Dwaraka, in Krishna's place. And he says, I'm a messenger from Rukmini. So immediately says, allow him in. Now the time has come, he knew. Because he has kept it in the back of his mind. So he saw Rukmini's letter and he became completely angry at Sujapala and everything that's going on. And he said, let's go. He became like a lion, it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, and then he called Daruka and got into his chariot and took the Brahmana, he also come. And zip, he went all the way to Vidarbha, to this place. And he coolly came the day before and settled down in the crowd and just walked around in the public. And the whispers went around, Krishna has come for the marriage. They thought he's come to attend the marriage. Krishna has come for the marriage. He must be a friend of the king. Or maybe something. Maybe they're all talking. All around. Look at him. My gosh, look at him. It's that great Krishna. They've heard so much about him. Right? And then look at him walking like a lion. Then they said, is he not the best person for Rukmini? Wait, I mean, that fellow, that Sushupala is no good. I wish that, you know, Krishna marries Rukmini. And they were discussing freely, you know. No. Nobody is going to say anything. They all thought that, look at him and how nice it will be if Rukmini gets wedded to him. They were all sincerely desiring. And over the town and village, everywhere the word spread that Krishna has come. And somewhere for all of them it looked like if they both joined together it would be great. Right? And Krishna was walking around making inquiries and getting to know what's the program, when will it happen, how does it happen. In the meantime, back in Dwaraka, Balaram came and asked, where is Krishna? Then they told him, he's gone to get Rukmini. He said, why did he go without telling me? He'll be in great danger. He went alone. Bad. He said, take the army. He took the army with him and he came in the backside. Because Krishna is completely enamored. He's going to get Rukmini, and he's heard about her a lot, and she has personally written to him a love letter and said, come and get me, my dear. I don't have anybody else. You are my only shelter. It's an amazing story, and he has gone. So Balaram said, I need to assist my brother. He doesn't know. He must be in, you know, fully thinking about his, you know, fiancé or whatever that is would be. So he said, I should go. I know these situations. So he followed on the backside. In the meantime, Krishna made inquiry, everything, and came ready. He took rest for the night. And right at that spot, Rukmini was not yet seen the Brahmana. So she gave up hope. And she was very desperate. She had to go to the Durga Mandap. And then it's going to happen, the final thing. All the other rituals are over. So many other things are over. Can you imagine? Fixed Nishitambulam and all over. Everything over. All decided. You are going to be the husband of... you are going to be the wife of Sushupala. Everything done. Still, Rukmini has got great hope. Anything we can do in between. Right? And Shishupala is feeling so great. So far over here, already 70% is over. Now it's, you know, done. So he's relaxing and everything is going on fine. And then Rukmini is desperate and this Brahmana appears from nowhere, haggard, tired. And he comes and smiles at Rukmini. As soon as she sees the Brahmana, by looking at him, she knows. Of course, he didn't do things like this. No, he didn't do things like that. But just seeing the Brahmana's Lakshana, she knew. And he came and told, Krishna has come. That's it. Krishna has come, she said, and immediately she became immensely happy. Immensely happy. She started feeling, she's never seen Krishna actually. She's never seen Krishna. She's been dreaming of Krishna. And Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's that, this, everything. She just tried, wrote a note, and here he comes. My gosh, he's really come. She can't believe it. So this is high point of the whole instance, that Rukmini is feeling great. And then she goes with her friends. She's very thrilled and all her mates are very happy for her. Krishna has come. Oh, where is he? Where is that hero? Everybody wants to take a look. Even the other ladies want to take a look. And you know, Rukmini also is just looking down. Then she's so happy that Krishna has responded. She walks to the Durga temple. In the Durga temple, she offers Durga so many wonderful offerings. She makes chants, prayers, everything. Everything is done. She pays her obeisances and everything. She prays that everything should go on fine. I'm getting ready. And the great act is going to happen. So she walks down from the temple. And for the first time, she quietly looks up. Now all those kings are getting to see who that person is, whom we have come for. The great Swayamvara is going to, great marriage is going to happen. So all these fellows, all these great friends of Shishupala and all are watching. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at the, who is the bride. And they look at her and everybody goes stunned. She's walking very beautifully down. And in between that, there is Krishna also. He appears pushing his way through inside. And then he comes coolly and everybody is dazed with their beauty. And he comes very coolly to the front and Rukmini simply comes near him. He just lifts her and puts her on the chariot and turns around and just glug, 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 galloping. He just moves. And then he gains speed and goes, what's happening? What's happening? Nobody knows. And then they understand that Krishna is taking away the bride. It's coolly come and take away the bride. And Rukmini is very happy. That's it. That's our real marriage. The marriage got over then. As soon as she got onto the chariot, she got married. Then they come to their senses. And then, you know, Shishupala and everybody, oh, what's happened here? My bride is gone. And this way Krishna takes away Rukmini. And then of course Rukmini chases and tells everybody that I will not come back to this kingdom unless I get, you know, Krishna and law, everything. He goes and chases, you know, gives them a chase, and then Krishna catches hold of Rukmini and is ready to behead, and then Rukmini cries. It's my brother, by the way. It's my brother. And then Balaram appears there and tells Krishna not to do that. Because he looks at Rukmini so, she's just come in, she does not know Krishna also, she's on the chariot, and she's afraid of everybody, and they're going, Krishna is going to kill Rukmini, she doesn't know how to respond, and Balaram steps in and says, don't do that. This, Rukmini's brother, you don't do that, you can't do that to her, to him. And then he sort of insults him and sends him off. And this way Balaram steps in and saves Rukmini, in this way Rukmini doesn't have to be embarrassed that on my wedding day my brother is killed by my would-be husband. It's not a good thing to happen. So this is just a description of one amazing flamboyant marriage that Krishna did. Just came and picked Rukmini and left. So that's why these stories are known to everybody with great interest. Everybody hears. This is transcendental gossip that's allowed, that purifies you. Hearing about what Krishna did next, what, oh, he got married to so-and-so, oh, how fortunate. you know, like that, all the ladies are discussing. Obviously, they'll all be thinking, when will I get such a fortune? When I'll become his might servant in this way. So, the mood of that discussion is something like this, that all the ladies are discussing the heroic aspects of Krishna and the amazing fortune of all the wives of Krishna, the Dwaraka wives of Krishna, and the Vrajavasis with whom Krishna had this Parakiya Rasa. So Prabhupada explains that these are top class devotees. Shringara Rasa, Madhurya Rasa they are enjoying. And Krishna satisfies them according to their yearning to actually enjoy with Krishna in that rasa. They offer their whole selves, their bodies, everything to Krishna for his enjoyment. And Krishna accepts that and reciprocates with them. We can see that similarly in the Rasa Leela, it's mentioned Krishna expanded himself, his Vaibhava Prakasha and Vilasa expansions. He expanded himself into as many gopis there were. It's amazing. And there were, you know, hundreds and thousands of gopis. He expanded into so many. And to each one, it's mentioned, he made them feel that I am with you only. Not all the others. Not with all the others. And then he kissed them. He exchanged betel leaves and nuts that he was chewing with them, mouth to mouth, and he gave them the pleasure of conjugal rasa. And Prabhupada is explaining, this is not low class lust that mundaners enjoy in. It is the direct opposite of this. It's a very, very high class transcendental enjoyment that Krishna gave to them. Right? Because they wanted the relationship in that way. So that is being discussed by the ladies in Hastinapura. They also know about the greatness of Krishna and they are all devotees. So these topics, they are to be understood nicely. They are so nectarian if they are understood in the right proper mood. And we can do that only when we don't have an iota of lust in our heart. And we can see it purely as pastime. We can see it purely as a mercy of the Lord on his greatest of devotees who have 100%, Prabhupada says, 100% devotee, not even a small speck of material desire. These are great personalities, especially the Vrajagopis. How they offered themselves to Krishna is a subject of the most important discussion in the Bhagavatam. It's the core subject matter. It's a core subject matter. That's why you cannot understand it. If you read the Bhagavatam just like that, you don't really get to it. It's only Lord Chaitanya who has explained this and told. When he discusses Ramananda Rai, he brings this out. And this is the subject matter of the Bhagavatam. The loving affairs of the gopis with Krishna is the core subject matter. It's all a big love story. It starts from Bhagavad Gita and ends with the Bhagavatam inside in the Rasa Leela. Different levels of love. Love story means living entities, loving reciprocation with the Supreme Lord. In other words, Krishna can have a love story with everybody, not only with Rukmini, not only with the Brajagopis, not only with the wives in Dwaraka. With everybody he can have a love story, depending on the level of love that you can reciprocate with. He is open. The burden of developing love for Krishna is with us and on us. And you can go to the extent of the gopis. That's why the model of the gopis is the highest. You see, Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarto Mahan. Ramyakachi Tupasana Vrajavadu Vargenaya Kalpita. So this is the highest type. So the discussion of the Hastinapura ladies is not anything low. Although as first readings, what are they talking about? Kissing and all that, Krishna, very bad. But they are talking about the topmost philosophy, the highest exhibition of love, the exuberance of that. they're discussing, and they're not ordinary ladies to be able to discuss this and see Krishna in front of them. They are very exalted personalities. That Krishna has given them darshan and is keeping them hankering for his association. So the more we hear this Krishna Katha in the right way, in the right mood and attitude, the more we will also come close to exhibiting our love to Krishna in the original format. That is what Prabhupada explains here as a Swarupa. Om Tat Sat, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Any question or comment? Now we are back to the earth planet. Especially in colleges. With a thud which shall fall back on earth. Yes.
When they start to discuss about Krishna, they readily come out this point. They start to comment all sorts of nonsense.
Because this is their point even in the material world. Lust. Everything is moving around lust.
Even though we show so many scriptures and we explain up to a thought and what Sri Prabhupada says to them, when we repeat to them, they are not in a strategy to understand it. And they start to offend the Granthas, Acharyas, and Sri Prabhupada and every devotees.
Because they are frustrated.
So sometimes I am not able to convince them.
Don't.
And I can't leave the place also.
Then get doomed. Yeah, it's true that Lord Chaitanya also in his discussions with Ramananda Raya, he told Ramananda Raya, don't talk about these things to anybody, they'll think I'm a madman. And Ramananda Raya said, yeah, I also feel like a madman. So these are very exalted topics. That's why the Bhagavatam compares it to gold and other things. The story of lust in this world, there's no love story in this world, it's all lust story. And all that is compared to iron. You see. That's why it says Atmendriya Priya and Krishnendriya Priya. In the material world, everything is for Atmendriya Priya, for my own enjoyment. And what we are talking about is Krishnendriya Priya. These are all wonderful damsels who have offered their full everything to Krishna. So it's difficult for somebody to understand this diametrically opposite philosophies. Philosophy of life is to eat, enjoy, be merry, and then plop, one day die. You know, kick the bucket, like they say, one day. And that is so stupid philosophy. Jagannath Paladev Shubhadramai Ki. Still, it attracts people out of addiction. Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam. Having done this again and again, you're addicted to this conditioned life. So, by Prabhupada's mercy, people have been given this thing. And by continuously associating, only people change. So you should not immediately talk this exalted subject matters to low-class people who are filled with lust in their heart. It will only increase their lust, anger and frustration. They may attack you. They will attack you. So just feed them some prasadam. Speak some basic stuff. That's what is my advice. Yeah. Is it appropriate? What else is appropriate? It is supposed to be done. Supposed to be done. But only thing, the sadhaka may think about a physical repositioning geographically of himself from here into the somewhere in this thing. But that need not necessarily be true. That you can be by virtue of your consciousness situated in the spiritual world, and anywhere you can serve Krishna. Right? So what we are talking about when we say Swarupa, means being situated in your original constitutional position. It makes very clear. Swarupena vyavasthiti. If you are situated in your swarupa, you may be in the material world, you may be in hell, you may be swarga, apavarga, narakeshu, apithulyartha darshinaha, narayana parayana sarvena kutaschana bibhyati. They don't care because they are reveling in that great attitude of service. Wherever they are, it doesn't matter. Right? So, sadhaka may think about a geographical location, taking a jet set ride into the spiritual realm or something like that, which also is true to some extent. It's not that it's not true, that there's no spiritual world. But what's being spoken about when you say Swarupa is that you're situated in that consciousness. Your situation in that Vyavasthiti means your situation in that consciousness. And you may be situated in the spiritual world, you may be deployed by Krishna anywhere else also. Right? Of course, that is the aim of life. This is the lakshana. A characteristic of a person is that Prabhupada said he looks at the highest, topmost goal and tries to get that. Prabhupada called it shooting the rhinoceros. So there's nothing wrong in a sadhaka. Om tad vishnu paramam padam sada pasyanti surayaha dirivya chakshur atatam tad vipraso vipinyavo jagruvagum sasamindate vishnuryat paramam padam. It's mentioned that hitch your chariot, means this Kalevaram, and point it towards the Parampadam and achieve the lotus feet of Vishnu. That's why it says, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. They are able to see that. That's the goal. And by following the Acharya, who has nicely explained the scriptures according to the time, place and circumstance, by being loyal to those teachings, and sincerely and purely following them, definitely your destination will be, you know, guaranteed. Have I made myself clear? Yes. Yes.
Because nowadays, Mahabharata and Sri Krishna's pastimes are made as serious and telecasted widely in the televisions. So, wherever we go, we can able to hear many people talking about these pastimes and other things. So, whether this is... this will improve them in progressing and understanding Krishna consciousness, or this will degrade them by understanding all the spiritual things in a material platform?
It depends on how it is shown, because I have not seen those serials. But anyway, I shall venture to make a bold comment that anywhere, even in its disguised format, sometimes in this world, if they are given some opportunity to hear something about Krishna, it is good. Because otherwise they will be hearing some nonsense. It at least displaces nonsense. In that sense, it is good. They are at least talking about Mahabharata and Ramayana and pastimes of Krishna. Except when they talk about philosophies where you merge into the Lord and show two big lights, one merging to the other, and they'll talk things like that. Because they really don't know what really happens at the end. How is the happy ending? Most people think everybody goes to Swarga and has unlimited sense gratification with all the Apsaras and everybody. You worship Krishna and you become the same. This is what happens to you. This is what the Mahabharata conclusion many people have. Simply, just like the Pandavas, you worship and Swarga Rohanam will happen to you also. Then you can meet everybody there. Ramba, Kilotuma, Menaka, everything. Everybody. This is the result of pure devotion service. That's what people think. At least it incites or excites them to thinking about what is spiritual life and what is the spiritual world and who is Krishna, etc. So it's got some good. We have to step in and set the thing right. That'll be a little bit of a shocking for them, but slowly we can expound the real meaning of Mahabharata. Yes, any other question? Yeah. There is no obstruction in devotional service. Actually. Ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasiddhati, it says. That devotional service can never be stopped by anything material. Nothing material can stop. So really speaking, there is no obstruction. But since we are in the material world, we are conditioned souls, and we are trying to liberate ourselves within that material situation that we are in, our mind makes up lots of obstructions, and our devotional service can get hampered. So we can do two things. One thing is to lament and reduce the devotional service or become completely de-enthused. Other thing to do is to get more excited, like Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, these are not problems that come in front of me, they are challenges and they are meant to improve my devotional service. So if you take it like that and take it as Krishna's mercy, like many great acharyas have done, you can see in the life of Prabhupada how nicely he navigated through all these challenges and obstructions to create Krishna consciousness for the whole world. Nobody has been free of these things. It's very artificial to ask for a very clean situation. Nothing in the horizon, just the sun rising and birds twittering, and you feel very nice waft smell coming, and the pollen from the flowers and the beautiful lake, and then I chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nobody is there, and I chant. This is what is a theoretical mental frame that people have. But Krishna is creating the exact opposite for you. Inside you are hankering for this. Cool irukum, nimmadiya, yarume illa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I want to get away from everybody. Go to the Himalayas and chant Hare Krishna. But it never happens like that. This is the theoretical frame that the mind puts up inside. But almost all the devotees in history, in the whole of Mahabharata, everything that you're asking question for, they didn't worship Krishna and dedicate themselves to Krishna, didn't do devotional service in such type of idyllic, ideal settings. They didn't do that. There was no such setting for anybody. Right? So, you will face these things, and they are all great impetus for rendering devotional service to Krishna. In fact, if they are not there, life will be so dull. Some challenge will not be there. So, accept the challenge from inside you and from outside you, and surrender to Krishna. That's a better attitude to choose. Right? Om Tat Sat, Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada Ki.